Welcome to the Agricultural Economics Podcast. This is Jessica Eisen. I'm here with the head of the Department of Agricultural Economics, my co-host, Dr. Ken Foster. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing great, Jessica. I just came from class, so you know you always have that adrenaline rush when you go in the classroom and get a chance to talk to kids and educate them. It's the highlight of my week, year, life. I don't know.
Yeah, you are always in a good mood right after you teach.
Absolutely. And so what's really cool about today for our podcast is we have a couple of our graduate students in agricultural economics with us to talk about an exciting endeavor that they've been involved in for the last couple of years.
That is indeed. Ken, I think that you've actually worked directly with these students yourself, haven't you? You want to go ahead and introduce them?
Sure. This is Kevin Camp. Kevin's a master's student who's just completing his master's degree here at Purdue and getting ready to relocate to California of all places. And Elizabeth Lunick. Elizabeth is in her second year as a master's student here at Purdue. First year? Second year. Boy, it would have been terrible if I had gotten that wrong. here is in her second year and working on her thesis. But both of them have been involved in a service learning class that I co-teach with three other professors here at Purdue. And I want to make sure I get their names in here. Chip Latchley, who's a professor of civil engineering, Vicki Simpson, who is a professor in nursing here at Purdue, and Bruce Applegate, who's a professor in food science and biology here at Purdue. And the four of us are co-teaching this class with anywhere from 15 to 20 students that come from all four of those disciplines.
So this is a service learning course you mentioned. What does that concept even mean?
Service learning means that it's not just about classroom activity and classroom lectures, that the students are expected to develop something that they can take out into the community at large and deliver to real people.
All right.
Apply their knowledge.
Well, then let's talk to these students and see how well of a job you did teaching, shouldn't we? All right. So
Robert's code between professors and students.
So what motivated you two to take this course?
I'll let you start, Kevin.
What motivated me to take the course? Well, it just sounded really interesting to me. I think it was orientation week, right? Would have been in 2012, right before I started the program. Dr. Foster came up to me and said, "Hey, I heard you speak Spanish. Would you want to do a service project in the Dominican Republic?"
Oh, you were recruited.
A little bit.
They were both recruited.
Yeah.
Yeah, my experience was also the same. Actually, before I even arrived to Purdue and I was in Central America, Dr. Foster sort of used that as sort of an attractive point for me. You know, hey, we still have some projects you can get involved with here. Let me send you some information about this. So, Dr. Foster did recruit us both.
All right, great. So why don't you give us a little recap on what this project was? I mean, okay, so service project, Dominican Republic. What was the service project, and how did Dominican Republic get selected? Go ahead, one of you.
All right. Well, I guess I can take this one since I was involved earlier on than Elizabeth was. At its core, it's a water treatment project. So, in parts of the Dominican, there's good clean water to drink. Other parts, not so good. And so we were trying to work in a rural area and install a community-level water filter to purify water and have it drinkable for the people in the community. And as far as how the Dominican got selected, I don't know, maybe Ken, you can help me out on that one.
Sure. Opportunistic choice, I think, really. The intersection between needs for clean, potable water, as Kevin described, as well as a place that was on the doorstep of the U.S., easy to get to, because when you talk about transporting a group of students, airfare becomes expensive and logistics become trying, and so someplace like the Dominican Republic, where there's pretty decent air traffic between the two countries, was a driving force.
And the interviewer has become the interviewee.
Yes, right. That was bound to happen, I guess.
Indeed it was. Elizabeth, what expertise did you bring? So this is a water filtering system, so obviously you needed to have a variety of expertise from different areas, which Ken mentioned earlier. They're all a list of faculty members. But what was your experience like working with people from a discipline as different from yours as nursing?
Yeah, I actually, this is one of my favorite parts of the class, is that it's not just hanging out with other agricultural economists or people that are always sort of thinking about economic problems or, you know, the finances of it, but they're also sort of make us think holistically about, you know, the public health aspects, interacting with the community, the water sampling part. We've learned a lot from our colleagues in like microbiology about what type of testing do you actually need to do daily on this water filtration system. I think from agriculture economics, everyone else is sort of unsure what we do. They sort of think, oh, economist, business, and sort of we have been, that has been our area, is sort of working, thinking about how this system can be economically or financially sustainable for the community, how it can, the manager of the system can make a livable wage from it, and then also the organizational structure of the community group that's handling this, you know, because sort of after we leave, it needs to be, the decisions will be, are made by a local group there. So we've been, that's sort of been our role in this project.
And what did you, would you describe it the same way that she did, is your role?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I think maybe speaking for myself and Elizabeth as pseudo Spanish speakers, you know, we've had a lot of different roles throughout. And it's really been a project that does have a very interdisciplinary feel. So we're working closely together with these other disciplines and all really trying to bring our own approach to the problem. I guess very early on in the project, when I became involved, it was a lot of working up the idea. We hadn't actually been to the Dominican yet, and we had to make proposals, try to find funding, that sort of thing. So it's been a variety of things that we've had to do.
So really from start to finish, this has been an entire project that's teaching how to create and design a project, how to acquire funding, and how to execute it, and how to measure results. Is that right? Ken, is that how you would describe it?
Absolutely, and I guess the other thing that I would add is, you know, how to innovate on the fly, because the project that's in place in a small village called Las Canas in the Dominican Republic today is not the project or the design that we designed back here at Purdue at the outset. Maybe Kevin can or Beth can discuss what it looks like today relative to what it was designed to look like on the blackboard.
I'm trying. I can hardly even remember what originally it looked like.
I feel like just, maybe I can jump in here a little bit. I don't recall the original drawing, but I do recall just the civil engineering students sort of saying, yeah, it's changed a lot from the way we sort of set it down here. And we just sort of, they especially realize that, you know, you can do a lot of planning, construction here. They can send us measurements, but it's really going to depend on what local supplies, like the actual site, what we're dealing with there, with the quantity of water they want for their system. So there was a lot of decisions made once we got there, and not just sort of sitting and planning here in our labs.
Yeah, I seem to recall two huge 500-gallon tanks full of sand that would filter the dirty stuff out of the water before it went through the microfilter.
With the Schmutzdecke.
Which the Schmutzdecke.
What is a Schmutzdecke? Can anybody enlighten myself and everybody else who's listening what a Schmutzdecke is?
if I can take a stab at it, I'm no biologist or engineer or whatever. So
or linguist.
Nor a linguist. But it's when we had those, we were going to have some large sand filters to take the inflow water. And the Schmutzdecke was, I believe, what formed on the top of a sand filter.
It's like goo, right?
It's like, yeah, it's
biological goo, yeah, would be a good way to...
yeah, biological goo, exactly. Yeah. So over time, as you're filtering water through sand, there's a layer of the biological material.
And it actually has filtration value. It actually is a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
So the Schmutzdecke is something that we want occurring in our water filtration.
Despite the ugly sound of the word, yes.
Occasionally one would have to clean it out, but yeah.
Okay, but that didn't happen. The Schmutzdecke didn't happen.
Neither. So the large sand tanks didn't happen. Instead, we opted for a pool filter because that was sort of an on-the-fly adjustment. Well, we thought about it for a while, and then we made the adjustment because it was available there, and it was pretty easy to operate. So.
I love that this had such an innovative approach. Very real world. Ken, what was it like? I have to take advantage of you being here and ask you a question, but what was it like co-teaching with these people from all these different disciplines and then also teaching students from different disciplines, you know, so far removed from what you're used to in EngieCon?
This class was exactly like teaching any other class. The professor learns more than the students. And in this class, maybe even more so, because I learned about all kinds of things, including the Schmutzdecke, but lots of different bad stuff that can live in water that's really bad to drink. But I think probably the students, the non-economic students, probably choked a little bit whenever I had to be in front of the class and talk about economics. But I feel like it was a really, really rewarding day when one of the biology students said to me, you know, at the beginning of this class, I wondered what these economics students were doing here, and now I understand. And so the fact that we were
sort of
able
a curious,
to,
twisted we were, compliment.
Well, you know, that's, you know, economics is the dismal science, so we're used to, you know, backhanded compliments after the fact. I feel like that was part of my role in this class, was to help students who don't come from an economics background drive a little appreciation for economics and a little appreciation for the various ways one could structure a entity like this local water system.
How did the community respond, Beth, Kevin? How did you feel like the community responded to your presence? I know, Kevin, you were there 4 times, and Beth, you were there once. So you probably have very, very different perspectives on that.
Yeah, so I guess I can start since I was there. Yeah, I've been to the Dominican many times, really, for this project. The community response has been overwhelmingly positive, I would say. They're very eager to work with us. And granted, there are a lot of issues that you run into with a project like this. It's difficult to pull this off. There's logistics, getting the construction done, getting water piped to this system that we're installing, things like that. But throughout the process, we had a lot of community members that were just really willing to meet with us and work with us. And, well, even meeting in the Dominican Republic can sometimes be a challenge, right, for many reasons. But they were very good, and they always made a concerted effort, and that was really
were there any unexpected challenges that you felt like you had not anticipated? For those of you who can't see, which would be everybody listening to this, I believe a wink just happened between Kevin and Beth. So clearly there is an unexpected challenge that we would like to be enlightened upon.
I'll jump in. Well, something we're sort of dealing with now. We did install our first system last July 2014 successfully in 1 week. They had had the cement base and water tanks loaded, and then we came in there and set up the filters and the piping. You know, the idea was that it was up and running and that the school children, I don't know if we've said really who it's for, but it's located at a elementary school on Ahulia. So the idea is the students there can have access to this free, clean drinking water during the day. And then it also has a pipe on the outside wall so that someone, a young entrepreneur, could sell the water at different periods throughout the day to the community. And so we anticipated that, we were really excited. As Kevin said, it has taken several trips and visits and a long time of planning with them to get this done. But we didn't really anticipate this issue of taste, which we're now dealing with. During the final ceremony in July, we all tasted the water. It seemed delicious and great and clean to us. But, you know, people have different taste preferences, so each of us, like, depending on the water we grew up with, we have sort of you know, have preference for different minerals and hard, soft water, sweet water. You know, there's a lot of different words you can use to describe it. And so now some of the community is a little hesitant to drink it for the taste. And so we're hoping to address that. Maybe there's a question we'll talk about later. So what are sort of the other challenges? And it's, you know, it's passing off this project. Any sort of project where you come in, you're working with them, as soon as you leave, you know, what is the infrastructure and what is the, you know, who's in charge of it? And, you know, have you done a good job to sort of prepare them for all the challenges and things that may come up after you leave? And that's what we're dealing with now. We didn't anticipate that there would be a taste problem, which we think is related to, like, the chlorine calibration, the amount of chlorine. So we're working with people there right now to see how we can address that.
I guess that speaks to, I know that it could be terribly frustrating to experience that, but also, I mean, we learn so much by the things that work and by the things that don't work. And I guess a huge learning moment was realizing that there's so much that we cannot anticipate that's going to come up. So the project, is the project going to be taught again?
We are in the process of continuing this project, and at this point, we have another group of students. Elizabeth is still involved, and there are two other ag economics students involved in the current group. We are trying to locate another village in the Dominican Republic with plans to build another system and do this all over again. Hopefully, we've learned some things this time that we will not make the same mistakes again. And we're also continuing to work with Las Canas to help them identify the issues with the taste and continue to focus on how can we develop some sort of governance system or mercantile system that will allow somebody to make a living wage from this system that we've left behind.
That's so great.
So there's a great John Prine song lyric that says, "The water tastes funny when you're far from your home, but only the thirsty hunger to roam." So these are two people that hungered to roam. Apparently the water didn't taste funny.
For them.
I'm going to overanalyze that.
Yeah, I know. I was like, wow, there's double, triple meanings going on there with those song lyrics. But for those of you who want more information, check out the Agricultural Economics homepage under the tabs International Programs. On the drop-down menu, you'll see the Dominican Republic program, and you can read more about what's going on and how you can donate, and if you want to become involved or just send your thoughts in, you can find all the information there.
They can always get in touch with me, Jessica Ken Foster, kfoster@purdue.edu.
Great. I want to thank these two students so much, and Ken, who converted a bit into one of the interviewees himself, and thanks to both of you.
Yeah, in closing, my name again is Elizabeth Lunick. I'm a graduate student of Agricultural Economics here at Purdue.
And I'm Kevin Camp, also a graduate student of Ag Econ here at Purdue.
We want to say thank you, and you have been listening to a Purdue Agricultural Economics podcast.
Please visit our website at www.agecon.purdue.edu and like us on Facebook.